This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. Today, we are celebrating the art of translation, the translation of poetry. And we are crossing continents and cultures with Barbara Goldberg, a poet herself and editor, and Nancy Naomi Carlson, who is another world-class translator and poet. Each of them are going to read a little bit of their translations, and then we're going to focus on their own work as poets. We're going to start with Barbara, who has in her hand a brand new edition of a Kurdish poet. So tell us a little bit about who this woman is and why you did this.
Well, I was very eager to find a Kurdish poet, and appearing in English, that's not so common. But I saw a couple of poems in a translation journal, and it turns out that the main translator was teaching in Suleimani, which is in the Kurdish part of Iraq. And I just thought it was so unusual, and the words were so naked and vulnerable. And it turns out that this woman is a Muslim and a feminist. And she...
A tough thing to do.
Yeah, I was going to say. But when she was doing her readings, there would be like 1,000 people in the audience. I mean, in the Kurdish people love poetry.
And she lived to tell it?
She lived to tell it, but there's a sad aftermath, kind of.
Okay. Read us the poem and then tell us how it turned out.
This is called Handful of Salt. Every day, hoping he would leave, I poured a handful of salt in the shoe of the irresolute man I once loved greatly. I knew, so far as I could tell, that this visitor would kill me and my poems. Mm. His timing was unfortunate.
That's the voice of Barbara Goldberg. What was her final destiny?
Well, it would be very hard to be a feminist in this country, which is very patriarchal. And as far as she was concerned, it was between love and domestic life and writing poetry. And in the first part of her life, really until her 50s, the poetry came first. And then when she was well into her 50s, she married. She married a Jordanian man who was pretty conventional. I don't think she was the first wife. And she took the hijab. The good news, and he was quite wealthy. So the good news is I'm not 100% sure that she's still in Jordan. And
we hope she's still alive.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
She's alive.
Barbara Goldberg, thank you for bringing her, you and other editors, into our world. They never would have had we would never have had a Kurdish woman poet translated. I don't think there is another book that exists like this.
Actually, I think that's true. They're individual poems.
But not a
collection. But not a book. Not a book.
So do you have another poem from her?
I do. And again, you can see that the suspicion and anger, because she doesn't live in a country of her own. There is no such thing as Kurdistan, aside from there being 32 million Kurds, not all in one place, but dispersed across several countries.
And people don't even know that.
I didn't know about the 32 million. So this poet lived in the Kurdish part of Iraq, but they're in Iran, Armenia, Syria, and Turkey.
Here's Barbara Goldberg. She's at the Library of Congress reading Handful of Salt.
A fruit seller's philosophy. My friend, you are an apricot. I want to taste you, but not your core. My old friend, sometimes you are a tangerine. All on your own, you get naked. Sometimes an apple, with skin, without skin, you end up in my mouth. You, my neighbor, are a fruit knife. Every time our family sits to eat, there you are. Forgive me, I don't like you. My dear homeland, you are a lemon. At your name, the world's mouth wells up. Shivers come over me. Oh, stranger, you are a watermelon. Until I dig into your guts with a knife, I cannot know who you are.
Wow, Barbara Goldberg. She is the author of 5 prize-winning poetry books. Every one of them has won a prize. It's not fair. And she has won the Felix Pollack Prize for The Royal Baker's Daughter. She translated Scorched by the Sun, poems of Moshe Dur, the great Israeli poet we have just lost. And she received support from the Institute for the Translation of Hebrew Literature for that. Goldberg and Dur translated 4 anthologies of contemporary Israeli poetry, including After the First Rain, Israeli Poems on War and Peace. They were also married, and he was a wonderful man. We're going to move for a moment now to Nancy Naomi Carlson, who has been just visiting the White House, I saw on Facebook. And she's a counselor. She teaches at UDC. We'll find out all about her. But first, as a translator, what is the book you're holding in your hand?
I'm holding The Nomads, My Brothers Go Out to Drink from the Big Dipper by Abdulrahman Ouaberi from Djibouti. Djibouti's in the middle, nestled between Ethiopia, Somalia, and Eritrea. Tiny little country, and the poems are tiny as well.
Nancy Naomi Carlson, give it to us. Never have heard of that place.
So I'm going to read Japanese Cherry Tree. And as I read it, I hope you'll hear some of the sounds. I do a sound mapping of the French and try to infuse the music of the French into the English. Japanese Cherry Tree. Flowers are showering down, petals of blood blended with milk. The breadfruit tree in the garden bed reawakens our fondest memories and in peace spins its everyday wool.
Nancy Naomi Carlson is a poet translator and editor and a professor. And she's won so many awards, we'd be up very late if I read them all. But she has published 4 collections of poetry translations, which I think are really, that is quite a number for one person, in addition to writing your own poems. They are Hammer with No Master, translations of René Char. Then The Nomads, My Brothers Go Out to Drink from the Big Dipper, which we just heard from. And now another was Where You Travel to Martinique to work on the translations in a book called Delicious Dereliction, and who is that poet?
And that's Suzanne Dracius, a world-class writer from Martinique who is a Kalazaza, and I learned all about that. She writes about race and women, and on the black-white continuum, she's very light-skinned, has reddish blonde hair like mine, very thick. We both had frizzy hair in our pictures that we took together, and she's a marvelous.
So you went there to meet her?
Yes.
And talk about her translations.
I was lucky enough to get a grant from the Montgomery County Arts and Humanities Commission to
travel. Does she like what you came up with?
She, I think, loves it.
After all, you've made her a name in America we didn't know. In Martinique, she has nothing to fear being a feminist, right?
Well, in Martinique, that's the thing, that she's too light-skinned to fit in, and she's too dark-skinned in Paris to fit in. So she writes about being marginalized in a very unique way.
Very interesting. Read us one more translation, please, from any of your books.
Oh, I have
and
to
set it up for us.
So I'm going to go back to the 1980s to René Char, a French writer who fought in the French Resistance, and he fought against nuclear proliferation as he got older. He was not afraid to marry a Jewish woman in the 1930s, a charismatic guy, a giant type individual. And I'm going to read the French because it's short, and you'll hear the N rhyme with the sound E. E, which doesn't exist in English, but in English I was able to do A to use that N line. So it's a Pyrenees poem, and it's called Pyrénées. Montagne des grands abusés, au sommet de vos tours fiévreuses, faiblit la dernière clarté. Rien que le vide et l'avalanche, la détresse et le regret. Tous ces troubadours mal armés ont vu blanchir dans un été leur doux royaume pessimiste. Ah, la neige est inexorable, qui aime qu'on souffre à ses pieds, qui veut que l'on meure glacé quand a vécu dans les sables.
You are lingual. You are literate in several languages.
Yes, French and Spanish.
That helps.
And a teeny bit of Hebrew, just reading. but can't understand it.
Okay, let us hear the English.
Pyrenees, mountain chain of misled greats. Atop your fevered peaks, the last light fails. Only anguish and avalanche, rift and regret. These minstrels, full of ache, have seen their meek kingdom fade, hopeless and blanched in one summer. Ah, the snow never forgives, loves us to writhe in pain, wants us to die, bodies glazed, when we have survived desert sands.
What strikes me is how each poet is speaking for social justice in the most beautiful, harmonious melody there is. That is unanimous here. Barbara, we're going to reach back to you. Did you bring anything by Moshe?
I did.
Let's hear something about your recent husband and the greatest poet Israel ever had. And I'm sure he's going to be remembered for a long, long time. So what is this book?
This book is Scorched by the Sun. And it's poems by Moshe Dor. And this is maybe his second book of English, of translations of English poems.
How many books has he had altogether?
In Hebrew, 40. It puts us all to shame. Yeah, he was very prolific. And I should mention that he was born in the generation of the state, which means before 1948, when Israel became a state. He was born in 1932. When Tel Aviv was sand, essentially sand. So he grew up with the state and also called pioneers. And I can mention that he became very sad about what was happening in Israel. It was a disappointment to him and to many other Israelis, I should add.
I know you visited often.
Yes.
And I know you worked with him intimately with his translations. Let us hear this from Moshe Dor.
I thought a love poem would be nice. It's very short. It's called Aroma. There's nothing I like better than morning coffee, and my love for you is the aroma of the rest of my life. So, love of mine, let's sip morning coffee together.
And we know who that was addressed to.
Can't imagine.
Barbara Goldberg has received fellowships from NEA, as well as awards in translation, fiction, and speechwriting. She was the speechwriter for the AARP.
Yes.
So every time you thought that president sounded smart, it was really Barbara who did it. Her work has been in the Gettysburg Review, Paris Review, Poetry, all the big ones. She is the series editor of the WordWorks International Editions, which is another new dimension for the WordWorks. And this 2016 Handful of Salt we heard originally has been selected as one of the finest translations extant right now. So we're going to move to your own work at this minute. You remember you do have your own poetry, right?
Yes, I do.
Somehow you find time for your own poetry. And you have 5 books?
Yes.
5 books out. So which one is this?
This is from Royal Baker's. Well, no, it isn't. This is a new poem. I thought.
A premiere.
And it's called After the War. And the war is the Second World War. After the War. It was a Czech film. And the lead was a dead ringer for my uncle. Same full cheeks, almond eyes, slicked back hair. There he was, my uncle, on screen. Larger than life. The movie had a happy ending, our hero reclaiming his fortune, his life. My uncle also survived, spared by Mengele himself, the angel of death, fastidious, spick and span, spotless and white. Step to the right, he said, because my uncle was young and strong and knew how to weld. I met him when I was 4, after the camps, after the judge at Ellis Island changed his name from Pavel to Paul, Brees to Brennan, the Irishman from Prague. He seemed to live a charmed life after the war, played the market, married money, became the life of the party, with his repertoire of jokes, which he couldn't stop telling. After my father died, he embezzled money from my mother, his sister. But she forgave him because of all he went through, which he never talked about until he was dying. And even then, only the funny stories, the bunkmate, who after liberation threw shoes at him. "You saved me," he said. "Now you're wear them. They're killing my feet." What if the dashing movie star and my uncle had been twins, identical, indulged with sweets, before dissection by Uncle Joseph, who also survived, in Brazil, marrying his brother's wife, and living to a ripe old age before dying of a massive stroke. He was a doctor. He should have known better than to plunge into the ocean so soon after the noonday meal and on a full stomach.
Barbara Goldberg, that's a whole novel.
Yes.
And it is just so much history in that. Poetry can compress so much humanity. Thank you for that. That's book number six. We were here when it started. Nancy Naomi Carlson is going to read one more translation because she's the queen. She's the queen. And this is a book that just came out last year. Mm-hmm. And what is the title?
This is The Nomads, My Brothers Go Out to Drink from the Big Dipper. And I'm just going to read the last section of the poem called Litany.
Give us the title of the poet again.
He is Abdurrahman Wahbari.
I just like to hear you say it.
Abdurrahman Wahbari. And he makes fun in this little stanza of three lines that of the fact that there is no P in the Arabic language. And so in French, he just puts all the P's in that he can find. And in the translation, I try to put in as many P's as I could find. Just three lines here, part four.
I didn't know translators had fun.
Oh, yes. In French, il faudra bien faire une place au pays banni qui revient comme une épouse éplorée sur la pointe des pieds. And in English, we'll have to make room for the banished P that slips back like a plaintive spouse on tippy toes into her house.
Sweet. Delightful. That is Nancy Naomi Carlson and her work. Has appeared her own work in the American Poetry Review, Agni. You know, Agni started in 1968, and it's still going strong. Crazy Horse, Denver Quarterly, Field, 5 Points. Oh, there's just too many. There's a whole paragraph here. But you received your doctorate in foreign language methodology and counselor education, which you are practicing. You have two? How many can a person have? That's really not fair. And you have two, Barbara?
Three.
You have three?
Masters. They say master of none, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, you guys, I'm blown away. Just so proud to have you here. I want to hear something of your own. This is Nancy Naomi Carlson at the Library of Congress.
This is a little more serious than the peas, and unfortunately, so many of the people I know are going through this where they show up, stick their arm out or their chest, get infused with drugs, chemotherapy. This one is called Infusion Round 3. A coded language emerged from a morpheme sea. Hyperplasia, eczema stain, nuclear grade. Charm times are not evoked in threes. 3 weeks between infusions, reprised in frayed dreams of the needle's wake. A broken language emerges. A lymph sea reels with vertigo. Red blood cells retreat. I am bald and moon-faced. Where's the harm in threes? Cytoxin whispers, corroding nails as it seethes drip by drip into recalcitrant veins. A muted language merges with closed seas of blood so pale, a slight shift of disease could set off a swell so untamed that evoking three times three times three charms may not be enough to save me. My body knows how it will end, but remains, with or without charm times evoked in threes, a veiled language merging with closed seas.
It's impossible to have gone through that, Nancy, but it's transformed by art and important for others to know as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a hard one to write.
Yeah.
Well earned. Well earned. Let's have another from you.
This one's a little lighter. Has to do with going to Mexico for a poetry conference, and just everyone was falling all over this one poet. I won't name his name.
Would we know him?
Yes, you would. It's called La Fonda de San Miguel. Somewhere between his fifth and sixth caballito, blue agave tequila smooth as the lees, when he would talk no more of the Red Sox, their climb uneven and slow toward first place, or those Yankees, those spoilers, or his eldest daughter hiking in Vermont. And he forgot everything but the ridge of his left thumb shot with salt lick, then clean swig of liquor, suck of lime. Somewhere between there and another drag on his Havana, another bite of birria, goat meat sweet in mugay leaves, he offered me a French fry, and leaning close, his blonde hair feathering my cheek, eyelid, lip, confided that the empanada he fed me next was worth more than all of his metaphors, more than agave growing on volcano slopes, more than any heart left smoldering home, even if it was his, even if it wasn't, please. No moonflowers drooping near ravines or wayward blooms in muted citrus tones. This time, let there not be vines or scented trees, and let the mariachis fade into arches of stone. No music, no bar, no night.
It sounds as if you fell under his spell, however.
Yes.
A little.
Over in the mountains, yes.
Nancy, sitting at this table, women poets, the best there are, and Barbara has five books. I have them all. I even know all of them. I've even read all of them. And I'm going to say all of them. Kingdom of Speculation, absolutely wonderful, folkloric fairy tales. The Royal Baker's Daughter, Marvelous Pursuits, Berta Broadfoot, and Pepin the Short. So read us a poem.
I'm going to read There for the Grace, because don't we all want some grace? Grace. You too. There for the grace of God, there for the grace, there for the window the housekeeper carelessly left ajar, for the 5-year-old boy who fell from the 53rd floor, there for the musician, his father, his guitar, there for the mother, and there for the cruise ship, out for a cruise, for the cripple whose wheelchair was pushed and tumbled down into the Mediterranean, there for the blue of the sea, of the starling and finch and the hyacinth, there for the lover who follows the script, who touches the lips and within the mystère, there for the sweet inhalation of breath, for the arm casually raised to brush back the hair, there for the grace of God, for the grace of earth, we go.
That flows like silk. Now one from you, Nancy. And please tell us the title of that book you just read from Barbara.
This is Marvelous Pursuits.
Right. What year was that?
2005, something like that.
This one is a sonnet.
From what book?
From Complications of the Heart.
Okay, just to tell people you have different voices, this is Nancy now.
And it's called Sari Covered Nights. I'm a brass-bellied Buddha's dream, an evening of gauze, stars blue and windswept, the quicksilver moon tangled in the limbs of a lone banyan tree. Oh, rub me to a blinding sheen. I am the sitar's ragged throat, pitched between here and when, caught in quarter tones, worlds bewitched. Why these four arms so long unkissed? Am I not your goddess? My five mouths roll their uvulas, guttural as high winds crossing desert dunes. Is there not a stopping place for us adrift? Two souls who speak in tongues.
Beautiful. A final poem from Barbara Goldberg now. And from what book is this?
This is from The Royal Baker's Daughter, and it's part of a series called Fortune's Darling. And I should mention that Fortune is the mother and the darling is the girl, the daughter.
Everyone has to get this book. Say the title again.
The Royal Baker's Daughter.
It is a fairy tale. It is wonderful.
Cameo of Fortune. About her, what can one say? That after birth, she lost no time at all losing weight. The earliest memory is of her stepping out, sporting red patent leather pumps, the heels spiked. Upon return, she'd pose full face before the hallway mirror, removing the stick pin from her hunter green felt beret. Did anyone call, she'd ask, and part darling's ginger curls, much the way one strokes a cat. About her, what's the most one can say? That she returned.
And now a final poem from Nancy Naomi Carlson.
Another sonnet, The Gift, the epigraph, I made this panel myself. If you are reading it, I am dead. Duane Kearns Puryear from the AIDS Memorial Quilt. The light leaves early these days, late fall, and soon night and day will be the same. Only weeks ago, the trees had not turned, but in a flash, a man can go gray. I'm banking on a 3x6 foot plot of cloth to save me, my name stitched in red. I push the needle in and out, and the thread strains to rise, pulled back by the knotted weight of where it's been, each gathered hour. A certain softness eases into each edge, smoothed down by the practiced needle's tread. The comfort of having learned to live without fades each loss into a well-worn theme, yet as slow to resolve as my thimbled need.
Thank you, Nancy. Our poets have been Barbara Goldberg and Nancy Naomi Carlson. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Witter Binner Foundation for Poetry and the Reva and David Logan Foundation. Additional funding by Friends of Poetry, Maria Van Buren, Logan Ambrose, and Hiram LaRue. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.